All right, good morning to you. Good to see you here today. Got a nice crowd here. We had a full house last service and had a nice crowd first service, so we're glad you're here. If you've been here with us the last few weeks, you know we've been doing this series entitled Shocking Statements of Jesus. We've been talking about how Jesus never said anything shocking just to be shocking, but he said shocking things to shock us out of our comfort zone and to learn something that we really, really, really need to know. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, we started this by looking at John chapter 6, verse 53, where Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Pretty shocking statement. But yet, we talked about how, you know, you have no life in you. Jesus wants us to fill ourselves up so much with him that it really makes a difference in how we live. Last week, we looked at Mark chapter 9, verse 35, where Jesus said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Remember that? How he's walking with his disciples, and the disciples are like, "Man, I'm glad I joined this team. He just fed 4,000 people. You know, he healed a guy that had been blind. You know, he cast out a demon." And they're like, "Wow, I'm glad I'm part of this team." And they're discussing how great they're going to be or who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus stopped them and said, "Listen, if you want to be first, you need to be last." In other words, if you want to really be great, choose the back of the line and minister and serve and care about other people. Shocking statement of Jesus. Well, today we want to give you another one, and this I really enjoyed studying this one, and I think you're going to enjoy looking at it too. It comes from Matthew chapter 10 in verse 34, and Jesus says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I mean, really? I mean, the disciples had to stop for a minute and wonder, "Jesus, what does that mean? I mean, I thought you were all about peace. I mean, what do you mean by that? You mean you came to bring a sword, but not peace? You know, a sword is what you use to, you know, well, I mean, you guys know, you've seen Lord of the Rings, right? You came for that rather than to bring peace?" I mean, some of you are reading this word this morning, and you're saying, "You know what? That is shocking, and that's exactly where my life is because I don't have peace." And you're thinking, "You know what? That's Jesus made that come true for me." I want to give you a different and a better perspective of this passage of Scripture other than just, "Really, Jesus? I mean, really? Is this true?" I mean, for example, we just got through the Christmas holiday and we actually looked one Sunday at Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The angels speaking to the shepherds there outside Jerusalem, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." I mean, see, folks, a lot of people come to passages like this one in Matthew 10, and then they read this in Luke 2, and they say, "Which is it, Jesus? I mean, you want to give me peace or you want to give me turmoil? You want to give me happiness or you want to give me, you know, just all of the garbage that life brings our way? Jesus, which is it? Is it Christmas outside Jerusalem with the angels or is this one true?" Here, I'll even make it harder for you. Psalm 29 verse 11 says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." Really? Which is it, Jesus? Do you bless me with peace? Or is the other one true, that you didn't come for peace, but that you came to share a sword? Psalm 85, verse 8 says, "I will listen to what God, the Lord, says. He promises peace to his people." Or as Romans 1, verse 7 says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Here's the point, folks. 250 times the Bible uses the word peace. In talking about the majority of those, almost all of them, are times when God is saying, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave for you. Peace not as the world gives you, not as, you know, peace that passes all understanding." We've read them all, and then you come to the shocking statement of Jesus, and he says, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." And how in the world do you reconcile those two passages of Scripture? You see, we come to things like this and we say, Jesus, which is it? Well, let me help you with that this morning. Because when you come back to this passage, Matthew 10:34, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Let me help you understand this passage. And we start just like we did last week when I said to you that to understand this passage, you really need to look at the context of what Jesus is saying here and what he's saying around it. So let me help you with the context of Matthew chapter 10. If you look over there in Matthew chapter 10, what you see is Jesus calling the 12 disciples. You see that verse 1? Get your Bible if you have a Bible. There's one there underneath one of the seats in front of you if you don't have one. But notice this. Jesus called the 12 and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Can you imagine how excited the disciples must have been when Jesus said, I'm going to send you out and I'm going to give you authority. Same authority that God the Father gave to me. I'm going to give you authority, and you can use that authority to drive out impure spirits and demons and to heal every disease and sickness. You know, they're like, okay, this is awesome. Maybe I might be first after all, right? But look at what he says after he names the disciples there. Verse number 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Now, it's important to note that and mark that place in your Bible, because beginning right there in verse number 5, the rest of the chapter is red. Okay? The rest of the chapter are the words of Jesus Christ, verbatim. The rest of the chapter is what Jesus says to them when he gives them these instructions about how they're to go out and to be his disciples. Look at some of the things he says. He says, verse number 7, he says, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. In other words, they were to go out and say, hey, are you looking for God? He's really close. If you're seeking God, hang on, because he is coming. The kingdom of heaven is near. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And look at this, what he says in the last part of verse number 8. He says, freely you have received, freely give. Really key to understanding the context of this passage, because he's saying, what I've freely given to you, freely give away to other people. The way I've loved you, love other people. The way I've taught you, teach other people. And then if you jump on down to verse number 13, he says this. He says, if the home is deserving, in other words, he says, as you enter the home, give it your greeting. Verse 13, if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Now, where did they get their peace? They got their peace from Jesus. Really interesting here. He says, you know what? If a home deserves it, you know, proclaim your peace on it. And if not, keep it. Verse 16, he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, now right there, I would have said, Jesus, hang on a second. Oh, I got a question. Well, you just said, when they arrest you. Did you mean to say that if they arrest you? Jesus would have said, no, I said correctly. Because the life that I'm sending you out to is going to be a tough life. It's going to be a difficult life. If you want to be my disciple, you got to take up the cross, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. And the words that he shares here were so tough. When you are arrested, he says, don't worry about what you to say or how to say it. At that time, it'll be given to you. For you'll not be speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Look at verse 21. Some of the most shocking words they ever heard. He said, brother will betray brother to death, and a father, his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Really? You'll be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. Look at verse 28. He says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet one of them will fall to the ground outside the Father's care? Fascinating passage. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Look at verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I'll acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I'll disown them before my Father in heaven. Verse 35, I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And then verse 37, tough. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And then this is the way he ends it. Verse 42, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that person will certainly not lose their reward. Now here's the point. Right in the middle of all of that is verse number 34. When he said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You see, the context there is that Jesus is not talking about their personal life. He's talking about their ministry. He's not talking about what they have inside of them. He's talking about what they're going to experience from out there. Matter of fact, I think what really helps you understand this passage is understanding three words. Okay? Three words. Now, we all know, you know, the three most important words, right? Honey, I'm sorry. Oh, you're thinking of I love you. That's right. You're right. I love you, right? I mean, three words. We all can come up with three important words, but I'm not talking about those words. And I'm not talking about, you know, please forgive me. That's three important words. You know, all of you Penn State fans, you guys have three important words too, right? We are Penn State. Actually, that can be three words if you can track those first two. We can just change that right now, okay? We're Penn State, right? Okay, then it's three words, all right? Those are not, I'm not, you know, that was so funny when I wrote it, but I don't, you know, it's like, and I'm thinking the first service was just dead, but you guys' reaction was the same, so I was wrong. That wasn't nearly as good a line as I'd envisioned in my mind. Three words. You know what they are? They actually come from our text. And if you look back there at verse number 34 again, you'll see chapter 10, verse 34. He says, do not suppose that I come to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Right in the middle of all that are these three words, to the earth. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Let me tell you something, folks. Those three words help. Because it is so easy to think that this peace that passes all understanding will be ours in every situation in life. But there are so many times where our life is full of turmoil. And God never said that I came and I'm going to give you peace that passes all understanding. He did not mean that we would always have peaceful times. What he meant that we would always have peace. That even though the externals were raging, that we could feel peace inside. Kind of like the guy I talked to the other day. Close to dying. You know, and as I'm talking to him, and as we're talking, as we're praying, he said to me, he said, you know what, Pastor John? He said, I am at peace. Man, don't you want that? I mean, I can't stand up here and tell you that I can totally explain that. I understand it. I want it. But man, he had it. I mean, he's at this point in his life and he said, you know what? I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about the end. I'm at peace. That's awesome. And that even, you know, David said it this way in Psalm. He said that even though that we walk through the valley of the darkest shadow, what? We can have peace because God is with us. You know, have you ever talked to somebody? I've had this conversation over and over and over again in life, you know. I've even had people ask me, Pastor John, I need help because I'm afraid of, fill in the blank. I'm afraid of dying. I'm afraid of living. I'm afraid of my mother-in-law. know, isn't that amazing that that's one of the things, you know, just aside, I'll give you this free of charge, all right? One of the things it says in there I think is fascinating. It says that, you know, father against son, daughter against mother, and then it says daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I had somebody say to me that I understand that part. Okay, the other part might be a little bit fuzzy, but I understand, you know, that part. My mother loved Arlene. My mother's the type of person that if she would have, somebody said, you know, you need to choose between one or the other, you need to choose Arlene or John, she would have said, let me think about it. But here he's saying this, you know, and we all have experienced this, you know, you can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. And a lot of times the absence of peace is not anything to do with war or with guns or anything like that. It's about my brother or my sister or my neighbor or my friend or my wife or my husband or my children. Jesus is saying, listen, just because I came does not mean that all of that is going to be peaceful. But I can help you have an internal peace that will help you deal with that. Because of these three words, I did not come to bring peace to the earth. Rather, a sword. Matter of fact, I think that you can understand this passage if you ask yourself what it's not and what it is. You know, in other words, we want peace around us, but God says you won't always have peace around you, but I'll give you peace inside of you. What it's not. This passage is not. It does not teach us that the presence of the kingdom, that means the absence of all hostility. You know, that the presence of the kingdom does not mean an absence of hostility. That's not what this is. What is it? Well, it's an admonition that says that if you know God, you will know peace. And here's the thing, folks. He seems to say that if everybody knew God, then we would have peace. If everybody knew God, that we would have peaceful relationships and peaceful communities and peaceful towns and cities and a peaceful world. But because not everybody knows God, and that's exactly what he's describing when he sends these guys out, he says that you won't have peace around you all the time, but you will have peace inside of you. Matter of fact, a lot of people look at this passage like peace is something that Jesus Christ was going to bring. I did not bring peace. In other words, he did not put peace in a suitcase and he brought it out and he popped it open and he said, everybody help yourself to peace. Or he didn't throw it out and cover everything. Jesus Christ did not bring peace. Jesus Christ is peace. You see, he didn't bring peace. It's not something that he brings and he gives us. It's something that he puts inside of you. And if you have that relationship with God, then you have that peace that passes all understanding. Matter of fact, think about this. When you say he is peace, I mean, isn't he the guy that when the storm was raging and the boat was sinking and the people were terrified, that they went to look for Jesus and where was he? He's asleep down in the bottom of the ship. And what did they say when they woke him up? Do you not care that we are perishing? Jesus had the ability to sleep in the midst of a terrible storm. He's also the guy that was hanging on the cross and he looked down at the guys that had just nailed his hands and his feet to those timbers. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they're killing. Same guy. So folks, listen. So our peace is not something that God brings to us. Our peace is something that he is. And because of our relationship with him, we know that peace. I have a great example of this just from the other night. My daughter, she's here today. Maybe you saw her. She left after second service. But her and her husband, Nathan, are here. And they're here. And we took her to see the Broadway show, Les Mis, for her birthday. And in Pittsburgh, it's there now if you want to go see it, Benedum Theater. We went there on Friday evening to see the show. And when Kristen found out she was coming, Arlene and I already had tickets that we were going to go. And Kristen said, Dad, I would love that for my birthday. Okay, and it's like, sweetheart, I already bought you something for your birthday. Well, you can buy me something else. Do you fall for this too? I fall for this. So anyway, she wanted to go. Well, I couldn't get tickets where they could sit with us. They were sold out when we got there, but I did get two tickets. But they were on the other side of the theater from us. But you know what was really amazing? What was really amazing was that, you know, they went and they sat down, and all of a sudden Kristen, she comes back over to me and she says, "Dad," now I'm talking about all the way across the theater. She looks me up and she comes over and she says, "Dad, I am so excited." I said, "Honey, it's going to start in about 3 minutes." "I know, I'm so excited. I've wanted to see this forever." So she goes back and she sits down, and finally, you know, we got through the first thing, and it was like intermission, and as soon as the intermission lights came on, all of a sudden Kristen's there. Like, boom, how'd you get over so quick? I had to come over here. That, isn't that amazing? She starts singing the songs and everything. It's like, wow, she really likes this. And then after it was over, I mean, she's just like hugged me, like, "Dad, thank you. That was the best gift ever." I mean, doesn't God, our Father, want us to like pop in and just to say to Him, "God, you are so good to me. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me this peaceful experience in the midst of all this storm." You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. And we can only have that if we realize that peace is not something that He brings and He blankets the world with it. But peace is something that He gives to you, inside of you. Matter of fact, last week, I quoted a dead preacher. I'm not going to quote a dead preacher today. I'm going to quote somebody very much alive. Okay? I mean, last week I gave you that quote at the end by Charles Spurgeon. Today I want to quote you somebody that's very much alive. Actually, it's Jesus. It comes from John chapter 14. Verse 27. Yeah, that John 14. The one where He says that in My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to prepare a place. And when I'm done, I'm going to come back and get you so that you can be with Me forever and ever. That John 14. And in the midst of all of that, when He's saying, "I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you alone." See, because we're like little kids. See, Mom and Dad putting on coat and hat. And we're like, "Where are you going? Can I go? When are you coming back? Who's going to stay with us?" Right? And in the midst of all that, Jesus says this. Let me give it to you in phrases. He says, "Peace I leave with you." Don't ever read Matthew 10, 34 and think that God has abandoned you, that God has left you in this hell-awful place without any help, without any strength or anything else. He says, "Peace I leave with you." Matter of fact, look at this next phrase. He says, "My peace I give you." My peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that no one else gets. My peace, the peace that enabled me to sleep in the belly of that boat while the storm was raging. My peace that I could hang on a cross and die in your place and forgive the very people that were killing me, even though I was not responsible. That's the kind of peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that even though you walk through the valley of a greatest, even death, that kind of peace. His peace. You see, because not my peace. Because man, most of the time when things are tough, I'm anything but peaceful. I'm fretting. I'm worried. I'm scared. I'm troubled. I don't know what to do. But if we just depend, she knows what to do. If we depend, we cry out to Jesus, "My peace I give you." Look at this next phrase. I love this. He said, "I do not give you as the world gives." Because we know that the world's peace does not lead to a real peaceful conclusion. And then finally, He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Trouble and fear, trouble and fear, trouble and fear, trouble and fear. That's our life. Trouble. Trouble like the man that's standing looking at his wife of 10 years and saying, "Honey, are you really leaving?" Or the wife looking at a husband and saying, do you even love me at all?" That kind of trouble. You know, the kind of trouble where a mom or a dad looks at an unbelieving child, an unbelieving adult child, and the relationship is so strained because of the parent's simple love for Jesus Christ and a rebellious child that just doesn't get it. And the child doesn't be won't even be around mom and dad anymore because all they talk about is this religious stuff. Some of you are there, aren't you? You see, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Trouble and fear, trouble and fear, trouble and fear. Afraid of dying, afraid of living. Afraid of whatever, fill in the blank. But Jesus said that we should not allow our hearts to be troubled and that we should not be afraid. Why? Because we have peace. We have His peace. He's left that peace with us. And that it's not like the world has, but it can only come from Him. So here's the final thing, folks. What we need is peace in. Not peace outside, but peace in. We cannot create the peace out there, but we can create the peace. We can accept the peace. We can motivate the peace from within us that'll give us a peaceful heart. We don't need peace. We can have peace out, but we can have peace in. Peace inside, peace instead of, peace in spite of. We can truly know that God has given us His peace. So really, it's just a choice of what do you want to choose and where do you want to be. You know what, folks? I cannot promise you that life will always be peaceful, because you know that's not true. But I can promise you that in spite of all the turmoil, we can be peaceful. Because while He didn't say that He would make peace all out there, He did say that we could have peace inside of here. And when we have peace inside of here, then we do have peace. And it will affect every part of our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do thank You for this glorious morning, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for these wonderful people. And God, I know that we all come here today knowing, Lord, even being troubled by that passage when we first read it, to just think, Lord, that You did not come to bring peace, but that you came to bring a sword. But Lord, we know that that's the reality of life. That a lot of time, Lord, a lot of times life is strained. Our relationships are strained. Our jobs, Lord, are difficult or even non-existent. Our health, Lord, is teetering on the brink of being difficult. Lord, even thinking of whether or not life will continue. But Father, in the midst of all of that, we can have peace that passes all understanding. Not because you brung peace, Lord, when You came to earth, but because, Lord, You live inside of us, and because You are peace, we can be peaceful. So I pray, Father, that You'll help us to live that way. Help us to accept that. Help us to embrace that. And know, Lord, that you can help us live that kind of peaceful life. May it be so, Lord, because of our faith and our trust in You. And even right now, Father, may we make commitments to that wonderful life. In Jesus' name, amen.